So we left off in the previous year discussing degrees of blias. The fact that there's a concept of bli and halacha, that if you have a kosher food and a non-kosher food that are exposed to one another, touching one another, the fact that tam transfers from one to another and causes a potentially very serious problem in kashrus, that's a given. That's like a double pasha. No, nobody questions that. That's a mishnah, a fairish mishnah, more than one mishnah that discusses the concept of blias and halacha. When we began the discussion of blias slash uchus tarovas, all these kinds of mixtures, so we mentioned that what we're really concerned with is what we call in the scene as tam, that even though there's no be'er, there's no real food here, when you have a piece of chaz that gets thrown into a big pot of potato soup, and you yank the chaz around, so there's no chaz that's visible to the eye, but there is tam that's present, and the Mishnah says explicitly that's a serious problem. That will trafe up the entire pot. To what degree that's going to trafe it up, is that going to be a problem in HaTorah or a problem in Derabbanan? And that's a very, very loaded question that hopefully we're going to spend a lot of time talking about in Shurim in weeks to come. But according to many, many opinions, including the way we pass in Shulchan Aruch, this is a potentially very serious problem, even on level of Deraisa, what's called Tam Ki'ikar. So the fact that Tam exists is not a question. Whether it poses a real challenge in HaTorah or perhaps in Derabbanan, that's up for debate, but the existence of Tam is clearly there. But whenever we deal with an issue of tam, we have to now ask ourselves an almost mitziyah slash halacha kind of a question. Well, how far does the tam go? So does the tam spread throughout the entire tarovas, throughout the entire mixture or not? So the Mishnah tells us that the answer is yes. Yerushin is bashaba gidonosha. The Mishnah speaks about a thigh of an animal that was cooked together with the gidonosha. And the Mishnah says that's a recipe for disaster. The tam is going to spread throughout the entire Yerach, the whole Yerach potentially will become treif if there is an Asidus tam. In a similar vein, the Mishnah Daf Kuf Ches that we already spoke a little bit about, the Mishnah speaks about in the realm of Bas L'chol, the same type of an idea, that a little drop of milk falls into a pot. So depending on which part of the pot it fell into, if it fell into the whole pot, then the whole pot becomes problematic. If it fell into one isolated piece of the pot, and we already touched on that, what's called isolated, in the gravy, out of the gravy, half in, half out, those are already details, but the yesod of the Mishnah is clear that whatever is the taroves, whatever's included in the taroves, that's as far as the tam is going to permeate. So if you put together the Mishnah of Tzadivav and the Mishnah of Kuf Ches, both for Gidanosha as well as for Bas Mechalov, this idea is coming across loud and clear, that whenever there is a taroves, we have to reckon with the entire taroves becoming potentially becoming treif. However, it's in this light that Shmuel comes to put the brakes on the whole sugya. I'll just go back to the top of the first of my comments just for a moment. So, Shmuel, lo shara elishin is bashaba, aval nitzlaba kalef yachalach megiligit. Shmuel says, when is this true? That the taste of the gidanosha, or the taste of anything that's straight for that matter, spreads throughout the entire food. That's if it's cooked together. So cooking conjures up the image. There's liquid there. There's there's a medium there for something to travel. So then, and only then, do we find the problem. But if it's merely nitzla, if you have a non-kosher food and a kosher food which are roasted together, and again, the example Shmuel is giving is the Yerusha Nitzla Begid, but it can be anything. It can be a piece of chazen with a piece of regular meat sitting together on the skewer. So comes Shmuel and says, don't worry about it. It's not so terrible. It's not as bad as you thought it was. And it's not going to spread throughout the entire meat. Adkan Devar Shmuel. The problem is that Shmuel told us what doesn't happen. What he didn't tell us is, well, what does happen? So how far, if any, does the bliya go? So we mentioned at the beginning of the sugya the other day, Tosfos is working and looking at this entire sugya through the following lens. Tosfos is assuming there is no way that Shmuel meant to say that nothing happens. To say that you have a hot piece of meat, another hot piece of meat, one's kosher, one's treif, and the fire's on, and they're barbecuing, they're grilling together, to say that there is no belia, there's no nosin dam, Tosfos thought that was just off the charts. It wasn't even possible to say such a thing. So what did Shmuel say? So Tosfos understood Shmuel to be meaning, not that nothing happens, but something insignificant happens. It's not as problematic as Bishol, but it is a something. The only problem is that Tosfos left us with one big question mark. And like, algebra, X, what is X? How far does it go? We know how far it doesn't go. It doesn't permeate throughout the entire Tarobes, but just how far does it go? So Tosfos took us on a grandiose tour of Shas, and we ended up right back where we started with the question, but we're still not sure. So Tosfos threw around two different shiurim, two different the potential degrees of penetration of Tam. One was the shiur of kedei klipa, a very, very small amount, almost a minute amount, of just how far into the meat you can just peel off the outermost layer of the meat and call it a day. So the Tos says, well, maybe that's the shiur that the tray for tam penetrates. And then Tos was hemmed in on and said, maybe it goes a little bit further. Maybe it goes to the point of kedei netila, which would mean you have to take off a good chunk. It's not enough just simply to cut off the outermost peel. You have to go deep into the meat. Again, it doesn't penetrate the entire meat. This is not bishul, it's only tzli. But maybe it goes kedei netila, almost like a finger's width into the meat itself. So that's what Tosfos left us hanging at this nekuda. They know what it doesn't do. It doesn't go bekulo. That's Shmuel's chiddush. But how far does the tam go? Unclear. Klipa netila. So Tosfos didn't just present this as an academic, philosophical, theoretical suffix. But Tosfos says, you know, let's bring rayas from the Gemara to other kinds of cases where we find these partial penetrations, and maybe tzli should be equivalent to that. So Tosfos went throwing off the bekias from sugyas and from Korban Pesach to other cases to show you that the problem is there are some Gemaras that talk about klipa and some Gemaras talk about netila in different cases, different scenarios, and we're not quite sure which one of those two shirim to plug in here. So the last of Tosfos' cases that they threw their hands up was a Gemara on Daf Ches Amud Beis. Let's go back to the three lines to the bottom of the Tosfos. We'll pick up where we left off on Wednesday. The Chena the Yom Eliyahu Parakam. Tosfos says there's a sugya way, way back in the first parak on Daf Ches. The Laman the Yom Beis Hashchita Raseach Koylef. The Gemara says that if you take a knife that was used to cut chazer just a little while ago, so it still has a little bit of residue of chazer on it, a little fat chazer on it, and you go ahead and you use that to shecht an animal. So again, if the knife doesn't have any nicks in it, doesn't have any pegimas, if it's a kosher knife, so the shechita will be acceptable. The problem is that a little bit of the meat in the neck area is going to have to be removed because beis hashechita ritzeach, according to one opinion, the degree of temperature, the degree of heat that is present at the time of shechita is enough to cause a bliya. Not everyone even agrees to that. But according to one opinion in the Gemara, the intensity of heat at the time of the shechita is enough to create a potential issue of bliyos. And how far does that bliya go? So the Gemara says, not so bad, not so far. Koylef, all you have to do is peel off the outermost part of the neck skin, of the neck meat, and you're good to go. You can eat the rest of the meat.
What heat? Is this artificial? External heat? Or is it the heat of the
shechita? The meat of the shechita. The shechita itself causes friction, causes heat. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't understand it, but lemais, when I see shechita, so it's true. I mean, you see that the area is hot. Lemais, you touch it, you can feel the area is hot. So comes, tells and says, if the Gemara is talking about a case of a bliya, not derech bishul, there's no liquid there, there's no water pot full of water in that case, so it's a type of a bliya in the absence of water, and the Gemara says, the shiur is kedei klipa. So Taisa says, well, if the shiur is kedei klipa by the shechita, then the shiur is probably kedei klipa here as well. So Taisa says, no, not necessarily true. Shiny Hossam says, tells us at the end of the third line, the shamnunis shall asak in dava muatu. Tosa says that another distinction, that even within blios, not only do we have to look at the degree of heat, not only do we have to look at is there liquid present, there's a third factor we have to look at, namely how much isra is here in the first place. So if the dover osur is a lot, like you have a gidanosha. Gidanosha is huge, so you take an animal and you roast the whole yarech together, so you have this large gidanosha that's giving off tam. Again, it's not giving off tam to the extent of the entire yerech, the entire thigh, because there's no liquid medium to carry the tam. But it's going somewhere. Tosa says that's not the same image, that's not the same picture as a minuscule amount of grease that was sitting, because the guy cut a chaza sandwich an hour ago, so he's got a little mash, a little something of chaza shmalt sitting on the knife. That's a dava muat, and when you're dealing with a dava muat, you never have to be too concerned. You have to be a little concerned, not too much concerned. How much is a little bit? Kedei klipa. So Tosfos just developed for us a new klal. Again, we're having klal and rules, Ruchas Tarovas, we're having smicha curriculum being thrown at us from all ends. We know that there are bliyas in halacha, and according to many, many opinions, in Shulchan Aruch included, bliyas are a din deraisa, and tam kikar, nice and tam is a problem, it asks the food, even in a Torah. But blias are only true if they're true. That means it's only a problem of blias if the blias actually entered, is actually penetrated into the kosher food. So we find that Chazal are telling us that not all penetrations are the same. Sometimes it's asas kide kulo, and sometimes it's asas kide netila, and sometimes it's asas kide klipa. How do you know which rule to pull? How do you know what the facts are? So Tosfos is telling us a new rule here. Tosfos says, whenever it's a dava muat, the buck stops here. But dava muat, literally the blias stops here. If the treifus is such an insignificant amount, it's never going to travel past the point of klipa. How did Tosfos know that? Where did they come up? The Ruach HaKodesh to say such a thing? So Tosfos says, don't blame us, it's a Mishnah. What's the Mishnah? So Tosfos makes reference again to Psachim Ayinei. This entire Tosfos is assuming that you know that daf and Psachim Kolt, because all of the rules in Avkashas in our kitchen revolve around the different sugyas there about the Korban Pesach. I remember many, many years ago, I think before your time even in Riverdale, but many, many years ago, so Rabbi Willer gave a whole series of shiurim over Pesach. He likes to give, like, we do now show, like a whole unit of Ian shiurim before Mincha. And it always related to some in the Yom. So remember one year he gave an entire week of shiurim on Pesachim Daf Ayin Hei and Ayin Vav. It was all dedicated to what did go wrong in Huchas Korban Pesach that could impact on your kitchen? That was the topic. So it was basically this Tosfos. He gave four days. He spoke about basically this Tosfos. All the rules back and forth. So Tosfos dug up another Gemara in Ketzitzah. It's actually a Mishnah that speaks about the following: Sacha b'shemen shal truma im chaburas konim yochlu v'im shal Yisrael im sliu yichlu v'sachitzon. The Mishnah says that I have this wonderful Korban Pesach that's about to be roasted. And we decided, you know, Korban Pesach, it's roasted, it tastes a little good. Let's juice it up a little bit. We want to make it taste a little bit better. That's okay, you're allowed to put something onto the Korban Pesach. So what do? They want to smear a little bit of oil. So just in case there's not enough cholesterol just to meat itself, put a little bit of oil on it. So what oil do they use? I guess it's not too much cholesterol. They use olive oil, so it's good, nice and good. Good, strong, and the unsaturated fats. So they take some olive oil to smear on the Korban Pesach, give it a little bit of a kick. The problem is that they use oil that's truma. So that could potentially be a problem if you're not a kohen. So that's what the Mishnah says, that they shmear the Korban Pesach with the oil of truma. Im chabur's kohanim, if everyone in the chabur's name is kohen, cats, you know, khan, you know, with all kohanim, great, what's the problem? So kohen's allowed to eat the truma, that would be great. What about Im Shal Yisrael? What if there are a couple of Yisraelim on that group? So now the Yisraelim won't be able to eat the Korban Pesach because there's going to be a blia, there's going to be a taste of oil that's going to penetrate into the Korban Pesach. So how much did it penetrate? So im sliu yiklov as a chitzot. If you already roasted it with the oil on, then you have to remove the outermost peel. The Mishnah says that if you haven't roasted it yet, they just smeared it with the oil, and then somebody will give, oh, we got a Yisrael on board, get the truma off. No problem. What's the rule? Tzadim b'tzadim b'adacha. Just wash it off and finish. But if they already roasted it, then we have a problem. To what degree do we have a problem? So the Mishnah says, yikla v'sachitzam, that all you have to do is just take off kidei klipa, and that's good enough. And Mefarsh, and the Gemara there explains, afilum adiyavet asagavar, even if you hold, remember we spoke about this on Wednesday, if you have two pieces of meat, one is hot and one is cold, one is placed on top of another, whatever the bottom one is, that establishes whether they're blias or not. So here, the Korban Pesach is the bottom, the Korban Pesach is hot, and I shmiat some cold oil on top, but the problem is that's going to trafe up the Korban Pesach, at least to the stage of Kedei Klipa. The Gemara says, why Kedei Klipa no more? Shaini Sicha Demashu Avdilei. The only reason why you can get away with a little drop of Klipa, you don't have to go too much further, is because it's such an insignificant amount. How much oil was it? How much oil did you pile on it? It was just a thin layer, and therefore it doesn't go past Klipa. So Tosfos throws their hands up and they say, well, guess what? Whenever you have a Dover Muat, it's never going to go past Klipa. So the sugi about the shechita knife is not a riot to anything anymore because that's such a davar muat. What would the halacha be if you have a real gezunta piece of treifas, a gid shenitzla v'gido? What if you have a real two real pieces of meat that are sitting on a barbecue grill together? One is kosher, one is treif. How far does the time go? Tosfos says we don't know. We know one thing: it goes somewhere, but how far it goes, your guess is as good as mine, says Tosfos. I have half the Gemara's of Psachim talking about Kedei Klipa, other Gemara's talking about Kedei Netila, and each one is talking about a different scenario. I don't know what the answer is here. Tzarchir, I'm not sure. Does it go Kedei Klipa? Does it go Kedei Netila? Now, as a throwback to what we mentioned before, this may very well be a Shalva Deraisa, because if the Tam has gone there, if the Tam has penetrated, then I have to reckon with it, minatora. If the time hasn't gone there, then there's nothing to worry about. So now I almost have like a suffix deraisa. I'm not sure what the din is. I don't know, klipa detila. Would that translate to mean that I have to be machmir? Do I have to say, since Tosafot doesn't know, sveika deraisa l'chumra? So that's a big question. So in Shulchan Aruch, we pass in l'chumra on this. We pass in that whenever you have these kinds of shailas, you're going to have to go the extra mile. You're going to have to go the extra shear, because it's very hard to know what the answer to that question is. But there are worries shown him. We'll make it. There's a Rashbu who says, no, the shear is going to clip a finish, end of discussion. But Tosafot is hemming and hawing back and forth, so we're probably going to err on the side of caution. But one thing is crystal clear for this entire Tosafot, that what doesn't happen is nothing. To say that there's no bleus, to say that there's no transfer of time, to say that the absence of liquid, so nothing happened, Tosafot felt that was just absolutely impossible. That wasn't even on the radar screen. However, if you just look at Shmuel himself, let's go back for the third time to the first of the Rambam Kamos. The word kolifia probably doesn't mean to peel off the treif part. Rashi says kolifia means to cut away the kosher part, like the image that we go on Wednesday, the image of the shawarma. You peel off the meat and you enjoy the meat and you eat everything. The simple reading of Shmuel doesn't talk about taking off kedei klipas. Shmuel doesn't talk about taking off kedei netilas. It sounds like from Shmuel that what you do is you eat the entire meat. I there's a gid anasha there. So what? Either there's a piece of tray for food that's touching and there's heat, so what? The simple reading of Shmuel is not like the entire Tosafot. So I don't want to say that before we read the Tosafot, then nobody would have followed every raya back and forth of Tosafot. But the simple reading of Shmuel is that everything's okay. Not only is that the simple reading of Shmuel, that seems to be the simple reading of the Rambam as well. If we take a look at the third of the Rambam Kamos, so the Rambam Menuchas Bechos Asuras writes, V'chein yerach shetzol begid anosh sheba, kolei fa'ochel achu magia legid u'mashlicho, that all you have to do is just peel away, not to take away the treifas part, just peel and eat, peel and eat, peel and eat till you reach the Gidanosha and discard the Gidanosha. V'chein behemish etzola shalema. And then the Rambam continues, and he says this is not only about Gidanosha. What if a person roasted an entire animal, v'lohesir lochutin, v'lochrumos, hasuros, he didn't remove all the different parts of the animal. When you open up an animal, you have to shecht it. So there are certain parts you have to remove, certain membranes you have to remove, there are certain chutin you have to remove, certain veins, whatever, different things that have to be removed. A whole sugya is in the seventh parak of Chulin, concerns of dam, concerns of chaylev, etc. So there are a whole bunch of things that have to be taken out of the animal. We call it a trebering. You have to remove, you have to do nikur, you have to take out a whole bunch of different things out of the animal before you're allowed to eat it. The guy didn't do anything. He roasted the whole thing together. So the Rambam says, good, enjoy the meat. Just when you get to those parts of the meat they shouldn't be, and just toss them out. But the rest of the meat is heptagomor. So the Rambam doesn't say klipa, doesn't say netila, doesn't say a word. Doesn't tell you how much penetration went. The simple read of the Rambam is, it went nowhere. So in light of the shittas of Rambam, we can almost complete the circle and go back to Hilchos Korban Pesach. We've already seen, based on Tosafot, there is so much comparison between what's happening in our kitchen and what took place b'zman shabbos hamikdash rakayim in terms of the roasting of the korban pesach. The Rambam has a startling description of how the korban pesach was roasted. The Rambam's description is startling, and the Ravid's observation about that description is startling, and the Ravid's critique of the Rambam is even more startling. So the Rambam in the fourth of the Rambam Kamos, the Hilchos Korban Pesach, Pekud Alachid Aleph, is describing, what do you do when you get the, how do you eat prachli? How do you eat the Korban Pesach? So the Rambam writes, Kesha Adam Eichlas HaPesach, when you're sitting down finally to the Seder meal and you're getting ready to eat the Korban Pesach, you have to be very, very careful not to break the bones. That we already know. It's a pasuk in Chumash. Chotech HaBosav Yoichel. So yeah, you could cut the meat. You're allowed to cut meat at the Korban Pesach. V'chotech HaTzamos Min HaPerek U'mefarkenim Ratzah. You could remove the bones, but you have to be careful not to break the bones. So you have to go all the way to the beginning of the limb and kind of get the bones out of the way. Now, this is the guy sitting at the Seder table. He's sitting, and he's eating at the Korban Pesach. And the Rambam is telling you, how do you remove the Gid HaNosha at the Seder table? At the Seder table? Wasn't this removed like hours before? Who in the world sits down to have a barbecue with a Gidanasha sitting on the plate? The Rambam, on Leil Pesach, in the base of Mikdash. Uchshagil Gidanasha, Matzio, Umanicho Imshar Hagidim. Says the Rambam, just yank out the Gidanasha, put it on the side, Vatzomos, Vakrumos, and you're not going to eat the bones either. And the krumos, what are the krumos? Those are those membranes that we just mentioned before that you're not allowed to eat. There are a whole series of different membranes in different parts of the body that have concerns of chelim on them, concerns of dam on them. They have to be discarded. So the Rambam says, you're not going to eat that. She yotze b'shas achila, take him away. So wait, what are you doing now? What happened? Wasn't this the butcher's job an hour ago? We have this image of eating the Korban Pesach, the guy sitting b'kedusha v'tahara and he's eating his Korban Pesach, but sliyei shematzim rom yichluhu. And the Rambam is describing, oh, by the way, before all this is happening, as you're sitting at the table, imagine he's a brisk, it's 5 minutes before chatzos. So the magid went a little bit too long. He said, guys, get the Korban Pesach. 1 second. First we got to get rid of the Gid Anoshe, then we got to get, why wasn't this done beforehand? So the Rambam explains, I'll tell you why this wasn't done beforehand. She'ei menakid asoki shahar basar, v'ei mechadchen oso, el etzolon oso sholem. Says the Rambam, because you're dafka not allowed to take the Korban Pesach and dissect the Korban Pesach beforehand, because the Torah says a rosh of akrav yakirbo. You have to roast the entire Korban Pesach. Roasting the entire Korban Pesach gives off the impression hakol mikol kol. Now there are going to be parts of that korban you're not going to eat. I'm not going to eat the krumas. I'm not going to eat the chutin. I'm not going to eat the rosh. That's true, but the mitzvah rosh of akrav yakirbo requires of you that lock, stock, and barrel, the whole thing has to be roasted. And then you sort it out later that evening. So the Rambam, because he was so mushpah, he was so convinced that you have to roast the entire Korban Pesach, he's setting up a situation of potential kashrus nightmare. I'm sitting at the table, I got mamash treifas, I got to get an osha. This is their ice, they need to get an osha. No problem, just leave it there. I got serious isurim of eating these krumos and chutim. Just make sure to be careful, but the show must, you have to roast it together. The show must go on. The roasting of the Korban Pesach must be done together. Comes the Ravid, and has the following observation, the following critique of the Rambam. Om Evram, Bechaye Reishi. The Ravid had different Lashonas. The Ravid's Hasogas against the Rambam were actually the Tamidim's.
The Rambam cut the head off? Or
did the head come off? But not at the time of the roasting. A rosh of akrav akirpol says you have to roast with it. So eventually you'll take that off, but not b'shas tali. So the Ravid introduced by saying b'chaye roshi. Now, when the Ravid was writing, the Ravid didn't actually put these words on paper. It was the Ravid's tamidim who are quoting his Rebbe. So the Ravid would read a Rambam, and then he'd say, Gavalt, what did the Rambam just say? So Omer Avram, it always sounded Avram, it was Avram and David, was the Ravid. So the Tamid said, Omer Avram, the Heiliger, Rabbi Avram said, Rashivat Gazak, the following, the Chai Roshi, the Ravid was screaming, what? He says, how are you talking? Ein Isser Godol Mizeh. He says, what the Rambam is describing is the Kedusha of Ta'ar of Lel HaSeder. Is it a blatant violation of your idea, a blatant violation of his kashrus? What's so terrible about what's going on? Listen to this, says the Ravid. Ein Isser Godol Mizeh Sheyitzla HaPesach Im Gid Anosha. First of all, you're roasting it with the Gid Anosha. Disaster. V'im Shamno. And you're roasting it with not just the Gid Anosha itself, but on the Gid Anosha, so it's called the Shuman HaGid. We're going to talk about the Shuman HaGid later on in Sugiz. The Shuman HaGid is that fatty area that's on the Gid Anosha itself, that the Gemara says happens not to be also in the Torah, but it's very much also in the Rabbana. The Gemara says that the Shuman HaGid, the Gemara is an interesting phrase, the Gemara says Shuman HaGid and technically is Mutam in the Torah, the Yisrael Kedoshim Nogabu Isser. The Chazal is so holy that they don't eat it. And we assume that means it's an Isser Derabbanan. So the Shuman HaGid is treif. So the Ravid says, look what's on this table. The Gid Anosha is on the table. The Shuman HaGid on the table. V'im Tarba Detosei Masna. There's certain kinds of fats that haven't been removed. V'im Krum HaShabarosh. And the Krum is the membranes around the brain are there, which are not allowed to be eaten. There are problems of Chedlam and problems of Dami. About a million different problems there. And the Rambam is describing that that's what's happening. So the Ravid says, Chalila V'Chalila, Isser Gomor. But the conclusion of the Ravid is powerful. Vim eske ve'oichal Pesach, says the Ravid, I never haven't been zoich at Korban Pesach. Hopefully, maybe about a mikdash this year, I'll be zoich at Korban Pesach. V'yavi lefonai kezeh, and someone's going to bring me a zak Korban Pesach to eat. Hayisi chofto bekarka lefonav, I would throw it onto the floor in front of him. Treif! So that's a Korban Pesach? So fascinating, very, 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 very dramatic conclusion of the Ravid's Hasagi against the Rav. So what's the answer to the Rambam? So how come the Rambam not only threw it on the floor, the Rambam ate it? How could the Rambam eat it? So, well, the question is, what exactly is the problem with the Rambam's description of what's happening in Korban Pesach? The Rambam is not advocating eating a Gid Anosha. The Rambam says, you throw it out. The Rambam is not advocating eating the krumos, eating those memories. The Rambam says, you throw it out. What was bothering the Ravid? The problem was, but they're Blias. Because there's Tom there, Tom Geeker. If you're roasting up this carbon paste with all this trefa stuff inside it, isn't that giving off Tom? So even if you're right, you're going to remove those items themselves a few minutes later, b'shas achila, didn't you just trefe up your entire carbon paste?
So isn't there, if the Dom is there, isn't that a problem of potential well, because
oh, well, the Dom is the least of the problems. The Dom doesn't have to be lit because it's slick, because it's roasted. When you roast meat over an open fire, it doesn't have to be kasher. If you take a piece of raw meat, it's full.
But I'm saying, even if you roast, isn't dam liquid?
No, very good, excellent. So dam, very good, excellent. Dam itself, when you roast something, the dam is not considered to be derech bishul. The dam just, the Gemara says meshrik shark. The dam just kind of falls off the surface. It doesn't really penetrate into the meat itself.
Does we make the distinction between the level of heat at all, or is it just as soon as the atzlesbo, it's the same?
Yeah, atzlesbo is a problem. This is you're roasting over an open fire. That's going to be pretty atzlesbo.
That's
yeah.
How low on the
fire. If it's not going to be atzlesbo, it's not going to get very roasted. It's going to be half roasted. It's going to be a problem.
Yeah, the Ravid doesn't say anything about no saying something.
Oh, so the question, but what was bothering the Ravid? So he clearly wasn't bothered with actually eating Gidanoshia, because the Ravid himself says, and the Rambam said that some of the Rambam never said to eat those things. So the only thing the Rabbi could have possibly been bothered with when all those things gave off time, b'shas tli, even though you're right, the Rabbi doesn't say it. I think the Rabbi was assuming he's pretty descriptive, but it's clear he didn't accuse the Rambam of eating Gidanosha. He's accusing the Rambam of eating things that are blias of these things. So what's the answer?
He could have been worried that people might not know, might eat the wrong part. It's not that it's just
okay, but again, I'm not sure I would call that Ein Lecha Issa Gola Mizeh. I would say that maybe that's, you know, a Hidra Nuchas Kashrus, you know, maybe it's precaution, but I wouldn't call that Ein Lecha Issa Gola Mizeh. Issa Gola Mizeh sounds like we have some real bona fide, potentially even deraisa problem on our hands. So what is the answer to the Rambam? So the Chari, you have to take piece by piece of this Korban Pesach, literally take the Korban Pesach apart, halachically piece by piece, and ask yourself, well, just how much of an Asidus Tam is really concerning us? Just how problematic is it? So let's take the supposedly the worst case scenario, Gidan Rosha. That's the name of our parent. Blee is a Gidan Gaval, terrible Gidan Rosha. Give off time, it's terrible. Not exactly true. Now, it is true that for the last 2 weeks, we have been talking about all the terrible time that the Gidan Rosha state is giving off. And that has been the prototype, the model of Hilchos HaRoves. All of the Torahs we've been talking about, all of Shulchan Aruch is all based on the model of Yerach Shedes Basham Gidan Rosha. But I don't want to ruin it for you, but the Gemara says two blot later that everything we just learned about Gidan Osha is not true about Gidan Osha. It's true about Chelev and Nevelis and Trefas and Chaz and everything else, but Gidan Osha itself happens to be the least problematic of all Machlos Asuras in terms of time. You know why? Because a Gidan Osha, if it tastes one, hopefully the answer is no, ain't beginning with nice in time. The Gemara says the Gidan Osha itself is not meat. It's a sinew, a nerve. It doesn't really give off time anyway. So it's actually machlekes atanoim. One tana claims it does, one tana says it doesn't. That's a whole lamda shashai. Hopefully we're going to get to later on. What kind of machlekes is it? He has to go, either taste, doesn't taste. So there's a lamda spine that machlekes. But we pasket unequivocally, the Gemara's pasket is beferish, ain beginim ben osetam. Therefore, if you had a yerosh and his bashel bo gidan osha, you know what we would do? We would just remove the gidan osha, sorry, and eat the rest of the meat. We wouldn't do klipas, netilas, not we wouldn't ask the bakulo, shisha, everything's mutter, because ain't beginning with no sitam. So it's true that our Mishnah does all that way, but the Gemara says we don't hold like our Mishnah. So the Rambam was least worried about Gidan Osh, that's the last of the problems.
Isn't the carbon Pesach just an exception to every other rule? Where do we see that we're roasting? This is like only on Pesach that we're going to be roasting. Any other meat that we're going to eat, we're going to first separate.
Well, that's exactly what the Rambam claims. Where does it say? So the Rambam claims that the mitzvah Zator of Rosh HaRosh Kerov HaKirbo requires of you not to touch anything of the insides. And the Ravid seem to understand, no, it doesn't. It just means clean out the inside like any other butcher would do, and then put the animal on the spit. So the Ravid didn't see any requirement, any Torah requirement of doing anything different. Of course it has to be roasted, but you could first open it up. And you have to open it up even according to the Rambam to get at the chelev. The real chelev is going on the mizbech anyway. So according, something's going to happen inside the animals. The Rambam says, take out the chelev but leave everything else inside. Everything else is intact. And the Rambam says, no, open up the animal and then take out whatever a normal butcher would take out. And then the rest of the animals put on a spit, and that's Rosh HaKrov HaKirbo. So probably the last of the least of concerns is the Gidan Osha. But that's not the end of the story. We still have the Shuman HaGid to reckon with. That may be an Eisen Tam. We still have the Krumos, those membranes to reckon with. So we only addressed a very, very small problem, a very, very small part of the problem that the Rav has raised. Hopefully with Hashem, the next year, we'll try to take this current pace, no pun intended, piece by piece, and try to analyze what each one may not pose a problem. And then we may come to the conclusion that maybe we're dissecting the current pace too much. Maybe we should look for a global answer. Maybe we should look for an all-encompassing answer, rather than taking apart tarfas by tarfas, come up with some other reason why the Rambam just wasn't gurus the entire problem. On Shabbat Tuesday, we'll try to put the Rambam sheet into the proper perspective in terms of the current pace. We have the next thing you come from also?
Yes.
Send both?
They're all in. We have the first three.
Yeah, okay, great. So, but the next thing you need the third one already.
I was surprised to hear that something other than a cow has a gift.
Yeah.
But it's just
sheep's and goat. Sheep's and goat.
Yeah, goat.